Thank you, Samuel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a quick update from what I know on Robert Quinn. Saw him this last week, and he's a champion. He says he isn't in any pain, but he's just kind of immobile from this severe stroke that he had. And so several things happened, but some of you gave him cards last Sunday, so we had a great time reading those cards, and your words were precious and wonderful, and Robert enjoyed those, and I read every single one to him. If you put a word in there or your signature, I read it to him, and that was good. Marilyn gave him a small care package, no food, because one of the humorous things, he can't eat food, regular food, so one of the humorous things he said on that note was, he says, he's not jovial, right? He's paralyzed, and I'm sure lonely, but he says, they chew my food for me. And I said, maybe they blend it. And he goes, it tastes like they chew it. Now, he was doing that. He wasn't complaining. He was doing his best to be humorous. And he also said to me, why did you let the Panthers beat the Seahawks? But that was pretty good, too. One last thing. I mean, this guy's a champion. And like I think I've already told you how he greeted the nurses and praised them and that kind of thing. But this time, he can't do anything. He can't do anything. He can't get up to go to the bathroom or anything. So he said, I came up with a saying. And he said, do not despise the day of small things. Amen. And I thought, that's profound. I mean, I can brush my teeth and I think nothing of it. I can walk up to the pulpit here, but he can't really even read a book right now. Only one hand kind of works. And so do not despise the day of small things. He means, in other words, appreciate it all. Everything you do, every breath we take, which we don't have the time to think about all those, but just everything, seeing Christians and singing together, being able to sing, just wonderful. So that was great. I thought I'd share that with you. Andy, this past Wednesday, just had a marvelous, powerful short sermon on Wednesday. And he threw out some statistics of what's happening in our society. I didn't write them down, but he talked about how lots of negative things have increased. Depression and stress and anxiety and suicide, just lots of things have really increased in the last, since COVID started. And I'd already chosen my sermon topic, certainly a new one for me, this passage that we just read, but it ties in with what Andy said there. So let's get started with the three verses we're going to focus on. I'll read them one more time, slowly, and not all right now, but Jesus is speaking. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The question is this. When you read this, as you read your Bible, how do you process that? What do you do with this when someone's reading? I mean, if you listen to Jonah, boy, that's packed full of exciting stuff. But what do you do with this passage right there? Because I will, on my part, not much. I go, yeah, that's people need Jesus. And I think it's that simple, and I move on. But the depth here is amazing. And who was Jesus speaking to when he said this? Atheists? People who didn't believe in God or people who did believe in God? Because everybody there that we know of, they were Jews. They were believers in God. And who was it for? Who's this for? And I used to think, well, for lost people that need Jesus. And that's true. But we won't talk much about that at all today. Just a little bit. Because Christians need this. People that are already in the Lord. We will look at some principles today that surprised me as I read them. I learned a lot, and I hope that it will bless you as well. So we're going to look at this from our perspective. And I'll tell you this, that it's really a simple lesson. I asked myself, should this be done? But it's really an important lesson. And from my experience as a Christian and knowing others, I think this is a lesson that is overlooked by Christians from time to time. I don't know about all Christians, but if you're like me, and I've been a Bible student a long time, I've overlooked the power of this one. So let's go ahead and just look at a couple things. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Good stuff, right? We all want rest. It may be, there's different kinds of rest, but there's some kinds of rest that we all want. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. That's verse 20. But look at verse 29. He says, well, first says, come to me, I'll give you rest. And then the next verse seems to contradict it. Take my yoke. My yoke. Yoke stands for, a yoke is a work tool. How many of you know what a yoke is? Just raise your hand, because I don't know, okay? I figured the old people would. Do you know what a yoke, you know what a yoke is, Eric? What's that? Yeah, do you know what it is? Ever? Yeah. A lot of people, your kids probably don't, because people won't talk about yokes anymore. But so I'll give you rest and just take my yoke? That sounds like a burden. I don't want Jesus' burdens. I've got enough of my own. Why would I want more? Why would I want a yoke? Because they put him on horses and donkeys and mules, oxen, and they call animals like that, especially those that wear yokes, they call them beasts of burden, because they pull burdens. So that doesn't sound enticing to me as I started to think about it. Take more burden on, it seemed like he's saying, and learn from me. For I am, that's part of taking his yoke on, is learning from him. I'm gentle and humble. And so, a yoke. This right here is a yoke. Like I said, you can put it on a horse, mule, donkey, oxen. And then in the next picture, you'll see an oxen with a yoke on, and he's plowing a field. So there's a guy behind him, so the oxen is not only pulling the weight of the plow, which isn't that heavy, but the plow is part of it's underneath the ground, turning the soil over. So he's pulling against the roots and the dry ground, whatever is there, he's having to work to turn the soil over, to soften it so they can sow seed and grow. So Jesus says, if you go back, he says, verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can that be? It's an easy yoke and the burden is light. Interesting. So if we look at the next, he talks about my yoke. We looked at that already. This is Jesus' yoke. You see any difference? Jesus' yoke has a place for two, not one. So if you were wearing the yoke of Jesus, and let's say you were an ox plowing a field, you would look like this. Half the work. Everybody wears a yoke, and you can't wear two. You've either got the yoke of Jesus, the yoke of the world, the yoke of self, whatever it is. Everybody has some kind of yoke. We're either slaves of the world, we're told in Romans 6, slaves of righteousness. But the yoke of Jesus is special, because he's on half of it. So who does the pulling? I know before I was a Christian, I did all the pulling. But with Jesus' yoke, it's probably not equal. He's probably doing most of the pulling. And who makes the decision where to go? Well, normally it's the farmer. But if we've got Jesus' yoke on, Jesus chooses the direction, which is far better than I can choose. So the yoke of Jesus is far better, and it is light. because he's doing a lot of the heavy work instead of me. So here's this picture, and these two people are worthy. I mean, their cause is good. We can't let the boulder go over and roll down into the city and crush people, and they've got a worthy cause. And there's two things wrong with the picture. Number one, I know the first one, ladies. The woman is working harder than the man. I get that, but what's new? But the second one, what else is missing here? Well, it's just an illustration, but what else is missing? Jesus. They don't have any dirt on their knees. We don't see that they've been praying. They're doing all this work on their own, which is never a good way to live. No one does well. No one succeeds. Nobody without Jesus. And so, even though it's a made-up story and all that stuff, and maybe they didn't have time, the point is this. We don't see any indication of sharing the load with the one who can handle it, with the one who made the boulder. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. This is kind of a metaphor of our life. And we want to share that burden with Jesus, because he can handle it, and we without him cannot. So, verse 30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Notice something. What kind of rest is this? Because when you take on Jesus' yoke, life's better, but it's not a cessation from work. It's not a cessation from effort or trial even. It's just better with his yoke than it is ours. But he's talking about a rest for the soul. And with all the depression and statue looked up and anxiety and anger and suicide, all those things, our society's in deep need of pulling with Jesus, of yoking up with Jesus. Deep need. And it's just a special message that we can offer people, by the way. One of the worst things to endure. Some of us have suffered from anxiety. Some maybe have been blessed and handle life better and have not. But I don't know if there's... It's at least one of the worst things in the world. I meant depression if I said anxiety. Depression is going to be one of the worst things your soul can ever endure. Horrible. It affects every single thing we do in a negative way. And takes away a motivation to make it better. And, you know, coincidentally or not, I don't know, but my soul's in great agony this week. You know, just a couple of friends in the hospital. Robert was one, and then another one, and it took me a month to get to see him. A month! No one could see him. His relatives in Oklahoma couldn't get any answers. Where is he? And his only other friend in Washington, a neighbor, and a month just to see him. And I get there, and he's a brother in Christ and not a member here. And he seemed normal, pretty much normal. But to be in that rehabilitation place, dark and very confined. He's not getting sleep because the guy that shared the room with him, you know, makes a lot of noise at night. And then when I left, we're having a conversation, normal, and we've been friends for 20-some years, and we're just talking. He goes, go! I said, excuse me? He goes, go, go, go! Get out of here! Go home! Get out of my house! Now, that wasn't what shook me. When you don't get enough sleep at night, you don't want to be there, and he feels like they took him against his will. I would disagree, but people will lash out once in a while, not at you. And that didn't rattle me much, but it was just the hopelessness, and he didn't know if he'd ever get to go to his home again, and you know, just just after Robert, who has a great attitude, and then this man, and it just, I left there. I had another appointment on a different note and with a Christian brother, and I was just grieved to my depth of my soul for these two men. And so I prayed the whole way. I prayed and sang and asked Jesus to take some of this burden on, and he helped me through it. And by the time I got to the next meeting, it was better. But this isn't just for the lost. This is for Christians who get so busy and caught up doing good and living like a Christian and obeying some of God's commands that sometimes we forget the source of comfort, the source of power that is in our lives. And we can just kind of overlook that and take the burdens on ourselves. And he says, I will give you rest for your soul. That's what every human being wants. Rest for the soul. So my yoke is easy, my burden light. How can that be? This is a really good one. 1 John 5:2. I think it kind of answered the question, how his yoke can be light and his burden, his yoke easy and his burden light. He says, John says, by this we know that we love, I will get my cursor right here, that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this, key phrase here, for this is the love of God. It's telling us what the love of God is. It's describing it for us. This is what the love of God is. And it's two things. It's one, we keep his commandments, and they are not burdensome. That's part of the love of God. Something happens when we become a child of God, when we understand and learn more about God and see that everything he does, every command he gives is for our blessing, everyone. There's not one that was given to hurt us, but every command. So as we grow and we learn more about him, we see these always on our side, always pulling for it, always hoping if we're in the wrong that we'll repent, always hoping for the best and giving us providence. And so this is the love of God. The number one, we obey his commandments. And two, we don't consider his commandments burdensome because we love him. We delight as we get to know him better. We delight in his commandments. And then he, of course, delights in that. He delights that we do. And then that we delight in it. And then I think the key, one of the keys again is in verse 4, which starts off with the word for. By the way, when you see that, I've said it, but it's been a long time. When you see that, most often if a sentence starts with the word F-O-R, for, it usually means because. That's usually what I mean. So it fits here. So in verse 4, so this is what the love of God looks like. We keep his commandments and they're not burdensome. That's what it looks like. And then John says, because everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of him overcomes the world. The stresses, the pressures, the ugliness, the lies. We have the truth if we've been born of God and have a hope that cannot be removed from us, even in the tough times. So everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. This is the victory. So if we love God, if we're born of God, we have victory. And by the way, just it's trivia maybe, but the word over, right here, the overcome in the English, and victory, same word, same root. It's Nike. You've heard of, some of you have Nike shoes. It means victory. And that's what he says three times. Been born of God. We are victorious over the world right here. And then this is the victory that has overcome the world. This is the same word again, same root word right there, our faith. So two things. Works side by side. Our love for God and our faith, they go together to give us the victory to overcome the world, all the stuff that plagues our souls and drags us down. We overcome all that. And I think that's what Jesus means by his yoke is light. Yeah, it's not without effort. It's not an easy life, but it's the best life, the only good reward. And we're victorious. So Jesus says, yeah, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So there are three verses here in the New Testament we'll look at just briefly. But Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not go weary. Remember what Jesus said, come to me, you who are burdened and are weary and heavy laden, come to me. If you're a Christian, you have. But how often do you waver? I don't mean it's sin. I'm not talking about someone who goes back in the life of sin. I'm just talking about the same idea that Lee used on the Lord's Supper, where we get so used to something that becomes habitual and ritualistic, like hopefully in the Lord's Supper never does, but it can if we don't guard it. Same with our relationship with Jesus and taking on his yoke and overcoming the world and loving that, and same idea. And so do not grow weary. And by the way, but it says do not lose heart, because the two are connected. If we lose heart, that means our soul isn't doing well. That means that we're discouraged and just the opposite of what Jesus wants us to be. There's another one. It's in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. It says, But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Keep up. What does that tell you? What you've already experienced, if you do good, it can become a burden if we don't guard up here against it, if we don't say, Jesus, help me keep pulling. Help me find joy in this good work. We can become weary. And then in Hebrews 12:3, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility. It just talked about him being Christ and being crucified in Hebrews 12:1 and 2. How about Jesus? For consider Jesus who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will do not go weary and lose heart. Question. You ever, if you're not a deacon or an elder, you ever think about them? I know you do. But the hard work that they do behind the scenes. If you're a deacon, or if you know about deacons, it's kind of a thankless job. I mean, God gives a thanks, and the elders might say, well done. But sometimes it's grueling. Sometimes it's stressful. And they feel it. And then what about the elders? Whew. Now, they're the guys that have to handle the problems, right? People go to them for counseling, and they're dealing with things that you and I will never know about, and lots of pressure in the job, and it would be so easy for an elder to grow weary. So as a side note, if you don't already think about them and pray for them, that they won't. And for our deacons and for the Bible teachers, especially for the children, what a super important job they have, and for all of our workers. But why do you suppose three times the Holy Spirit says, do not grow weary? Because Christians do. Amen. We do. But we don't have to. So it's being on guard, asking Jesus for the wisdom, the strength, the help. Pull with me, Lord. I know you're ready as can be, but sometimes I forget about that. So the reason we're warned three times is because it happens. Christians do grow weary. And it will happen if we are not staying close, if we're not remembering who is pulling the yoke with us, who's guiding the yoke. So we go to, I get it. You know, pray without ceasing. We're told to do that a couple times in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and other places. Pray without ceasing. And not just because God wants us to do it, but every command has a blessing. And when we pray, you know, prayer hinders sin. When we pray, we're less likely to sin in the next moment because we've been in contact with God himself. And on the other hand, sin hinders prayer. We sin and we're embarrassed to pray. And so we're yoked and we pray. And we pray constantly. The more we pray, the closer we are with Jesus, the more we realize how much he's working on our behalf and helping us pull the plow or whatever we're pulling with the yoke that connects the two of us. Not only does prayer hinder sin, but it hinders weariness as well. Pray without ceasing. So this is a message for all people, for Christians and non, but it's a meaningful message to people who aren't saved yet. It's a beautiful message we can give them because life is a lot better with Jesus, being partnered with him, with his yoke. Life is a lot better. And you don't have to be real knowledgeable to tell people that. You can be a brand new Christian. You see somebody struggling, just say, hey, life is tough. Life is really challenging. You ever considered becoming a Christian or at least looking into the matter? Because it's a lot better when Jesus is on your side. Simple message. And they say, I want to know more. And you say, well, I don't know more. Then say, hey, well, let me meet with Don or Mike or Mike or Bill or Eric or Andy. But it's a simple message. And you know, in Jeremiah 10:23, here are, by the way, you can see that these two oxen are moving. Look at the legs. You can see that they're both, one stepping forward and the other has a high leg is about to pull forward. You can see them moving and they have a plow like the one we saw earlier from a different angle. They have a plow and no farmer. So how many farmers set up their oxen with a plow and they giddy up, they give them a little slap and get them going, they take off and go to the Home Depot or get lunch. How many do that? What's the field going to look like? Well, probably one line through it and across the other field. And I mean, they don't know to turn. Maybe there's some smart ones, Lee, you could tell me. But the point is this. A team of oxen aren't going to plow a field correctly by themselves without guidance. And that's exactly the same way with every human being in life. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. We don't know what we're doing. I'm proof of that before I became a Christian especially. So a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. Farmers don't leave the oxen unguided, nor does Jesus leave his people unguided. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus doesn't leave us alone with the yoke on. He's helping us at all times. Life without the Lord, that's a heavy burden. So simple, so important. How often do you get weary? I know how often I get weary. It's more than I should and more than I want. Working on it, it's less than it used to be. Maybe some of you don't struggle with that. Some of you are just so full of life and faith and you're so uplifting. Maybe some don't, but a lot of us do. How often you get weary, weighed down with a heavy burden. This is simple, but it's from God because it means something and we need it. We need to internalize it. In Colossians 1, 10 and 11, it explains wearing the yoke of Jesus is pulling together with Jesus. So let's just look at it real quickly. In Colossians 1, 10 and 11, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. To walk means to live. You see that term, walk in the light and walk in righteousness. You'll see it used throughout the New Testament. To walk means to live. So that you will live in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's effort. That's your part. That's pull on, Christian brother or sister. That's what Paul is telling us, that we walk in a worthy. That's what we do. You know what? I missed a slide. I may have double tapped or something like that, but it's okay. We'll go on. So walk in a manner worthy, bearing fruit. There's that yoke. That's a yoke right there. That's work. Keeping the commandments of God, that's a yoke. But it's a light one. Better than any other yoke out there. Walking in a manner worthy, that's a yoke, but a yoke of Jesus. In every good work, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, there's our pull. There's our side of the plow. Strengthened with all power. That's God pulling on the other side of the yoke. We're moving against it. We're living the life for Jesus, bearing the good fruit, and He's right beside us, strengthening us with all the power. Strength isn't ours, right? We get that from God. We are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. That's why His yoke is light, not easy. But it gives rest to our soul because He's always there anytime we want Him to be. Anytime we call on His name, anytime we put His yoke on or keep it on, He makes it much, much lighter. According to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness. Whoops, didn't want to do that. Steadfastness and patience. Joyously giving thanks. To joyously give thanks. You can give thanks when you're sad, and we should. Jonah did. He wasn't a happy camper inside the fish. And yet if you go back and read Jonah chapter 1 or chapter 2, he gave thanks to God. But to give it joyously, that indicates a person has a spirit that is rested. And I will give rest to your soul. That word rest, by the way, I didn't talk about it, but it means rest, or it can mean at peace. It can mean restore. Like David says in Psalm 23:3, you guide me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, or he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Everybody needs that. Everybody wants that. Refreshes the soul. We have peace with God. We have peace with ourselves. We're good regardless of how much we might have be toiling on the outside. We have a refreshed, restored, peaceful soul. And we give joyous thanks when our soul is rested. So the Lord, that will end our lesson. But the Lord, I pray that He strengthens all of us. We just think more about it. This simple, not this one, but Matthew 11, 28 through 30. That if you were like me and you just kind of breeze over that sometimes, think about that a little bit. Go back, maybe look at it. Say, how can I grow in that way? How can I make sure that I'm partnered with Jesus and that He's helping me through this challenging life? So may God strengthen you with all power, because His yoke is easy and He will restore and refresh our souls. Thank you so much. The lesson is yours. This time we'll have our song of invitation. If you have any spiritual needs, please let us know what they are. We'll help in any way that we can.